Glad to be here. I am extremely blessed to be back in San Marcos, Texas. 7 years ago, like Pastor Emilio said, we went to Mexico. At that time, my little girl was 3 years old, and I didn't have a son. Now, I have a little girl that's 10 years old, and a son that is 6 years old. So if you ask him if he's Mexican or if he's American, he's going to answer, I am Mexican. So he loves the tradition in Mexico, but soon we're going to have him all readied up to be Texan all the way and a Cowboys fan for life. How many Cowboys fans in here? Good, good. Well, just like that, when we said Cowboys, it created an atmosphere for some people, a good atmosphere, and for others, a not so good atmosphere, right? And so, atmosphere. What is an atmosphere? Sometimes you can walk into a house and feel an atmosphere. Or you talk to somebody and you feel something, the spirit telling you something. What happens? Why? Why do we feel this? You can walk into a house and get the heebie-jeebies, or you can walk into a house and it feels like grandma's house, right? And isn't that wonderful when you walk in a place and it feels like grandma's house, or smells that remind you of grandma's house, or a smell that reminds you of something that wasn't so good? So, atmospheres. Today, we are going to talk about changing atmospheres. How many of us know that there's atmosphere out there, and usually right now, it's fear. A lot of fear being spoken out there. Guess what? Each one of us are atmosphere changers. Each one of us. Wherever the Lord plants us, we change the atmosphere. But what do we have to do? We have to choose to change an atmosphere. Before I go further, I want to give you the definition from the dictionary on atmosphere. Atmosphere is defined by the dictionary as a pervading tone or mood of a place, situation, or work of art. How many times do we see in the Bible, a situation arise? And what does Jesus do? The famous question, what would Jesus do? Let's go straight into scripture and see what he did in one situation. Mark 4, 37 to 40. So I hope y'all have y'all's Bibles, and really, I want to see a culture created of taking notes, of having our Bibles, even if it's cell phones, whatever it is. You know why? These notes one day are going to help us. The Spirit might say something at that time that at the time you're like, I don't know why I wrote this down. Years later, you'll look and see why you wrote it down. Or Jesus is coming back for us, right? Those notes, somebody's going to find those notes. I want somebody to find my notes, you know, somebody that's left behind. My notes, your notes, are going to be there for those people. So take notes. We have to create a culture of taking notes. The Spirit will speak to us through those notes. So let's go to scripture. Mark 4, 37, 40. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? What did Jesus do here? There was a situation. There was something going on. It scared the disciples. They were scared. But what did he do? He got up and rebuked. He spoke. He changed the atmosphere. And many of us can say, wait, that was Jesus. Who lives in us? Jesus, exactly. So if Jesus lives in us, what does that mean? We speak, and things happen. He spoke, things into existence. He said, let there be, and there was. Same thing for us, church. The power is ours. He has given us dominion. He has given us power. But you know what the worst thing is? Is we don't use it. Use it. We have to open our mouth. We have to declare. We have to speak. We have to say, you know what? Because it's not us doing it. It's His Spirit doing it through us. Let me tell you, people used to say, Lucy, my pastor, 7 years ago in Mexico, you're going to give the messages. I'd cry. No, I don't want to go up there. I hated speaking in public. I hated all eyes on me. But He kept insisting. He kept insisting. Until one day, I felt it in here. I could no longer keep my mouth shut. Guess what? You feel it. I know y'all feel it. It's in here. Open your mouth and let His power flow. Let the world needs it right now. They need it. They need it. It's not even about us. It's not for us. It's for the lost and hurting. It's for the people that are in pieces and shambles. I'm sure y'all can remember how the Lord found each one of you. I can remember how He found me in the pit. In the pit. And I'm so glad that somebody spoke to me about Jesus. You have that in you. Speak to someone about Jesus. You can change atmospheres, okay? You have the power of Jesus Christ in you. There is power in His blood. There is power in what He did on the cross. And that is in us. That's in each one of us. Okay, so transforming the atmosphere. Each one of us, we can already see, can transform the atmosphere. I'm sure there's some of you working at a job that the atmosphere might not be so nice, or other people might not be so kind. Or in a family, that family member that you know, oh gosh, it's coming around and I'm going to have to see them and they're not very nice, right? Why are we laughing? Because we all know we have that family member. Or our country, sometimes things start arising in our country. Guess what? Speak the word of the Lord. Speak wherever you're at. Many things can impact the atmosphere. Let me give you some examples of those things that can impact an atmosphere. The history and injustice that have taken place. The distinct culture of residents, memories and emotions concerning events that have occurred, spiritual strongholds that are unique in the area, judgments and opinions related to politics, people, systems, and organizations, expectations or lack of them with regards to the future of hope. But guess what? These factors are real, and these factors can be real in workplace, in a family, in places we're at, but guess what? They're not the truth. They're real, but they're not the truth. The Word of God is the truth. The good news, the gospel, changes these things. We have the gospel. We know the gospel. We have to speak the gospel. We have to speak over these situations. We have to speak light into darkness. It's dark in here, but if we turn on the lights, what's going to happen to the darkness? It's gone. It's gone. That is why Jesus refers to Himself as the light. He walks in, you walk in to a place, light, because Jesus is in you. He has strategically placed each one of us. When we get to heaven, it's going to be like, oh, that all connected. Wow. Just being here in the last month, I can see God's hand, the connection. How Pastor Emilio said, we were in a class of new members with the Hollowfields and the Higgins. And now coming back, guess what? I get to work side by side with them. That's not coincidence. God did that with purpose. Nothing is coincidence. Nothing. God is so amazing that he strategically does things, that he puts us exactly where he needs us. But we have to be sensitive. When he said, "You're going to Mexico," we had just bought in a house. We'd been married for a year, no, 2 years, and just bought in a house. And when he said it was time, oh, but guess what? That house sold in 15 days. Because when he wants something done, he's going to get it done. When we came back, we had a house. Everybody said, "It's a pandemic. At least a year before you sell your house." Guess what? 30 days and the house sold. Because that's him. When he wants to do something with your life and you let him, he'll do it. He'll take you far beyond what you can imagine or even expect or see, more than you can imagine and see. He does it abundantly because that's our God. He does more than we can imagine. So on this, in the book of Acts, that specific moment when an atmosphere was changed, Acts 8, what was happening here? Samaria was filled with sorcery. Did I say that correctly? Sorcery? Sorcery? Yes. Sorry, sometimes the Spanish wants to slip in again. Okay? So it was filled. But what happened? What happened? The gospel was proclaimed. And what came? What came to them? What does it say in Acts 8? 8:8. It says, "And joy came over the people of Samaria, and joy came over the people of San Marcos, and joy came over the people of Texas, and joy came over the people of the United States of America, and joy came over the people of whatever nation you want to mention. When the gospel arrives, it transforms. It transforms." We were in a town in Mexico where there was brujería all over the place, witchcraft. All over the place. Guess what? They can't be near us. They couldn't. They could not. Why? Their power is not real. Ours is real. Ours is real. Amen. Amen. And we have to know this, church. So many people walk around and say, "Brujería, scary." No, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, strongholds fall. We proclaim his name and he does it. It's not Lucy that does it. It's not any pastor, apostle, leader, beep, nope. It is Jesus that does it. But we have to know that we have the power. Okay? So we see that in Acts. Now, quickly, let me see, how much time do I have? Yep, it's running short. Okay. Five ways to transform an atmosphere. Five ways to transform an atmosphere. Okay? Number one, choose to be an atmosphere changer. You have to choose. As soon as you walk into a place, you know, you can see, you can feel. When we walked into this town in Mexico, we knew the looks, the people speaking about us, because first of all, my Spanish was awful when I arrived. It was awful. So it was like, they're not from here. Guess what? I'm not from the U.S. either. I belong to the celestial realm. My home is not here. So you can't let those things affect you. You cannot let things of this world affect you. You have to make a decision. No matter what people say, I'm not here for people. I'm here for Jesus Christ. I'm here for the lost and hurting. There's always going to be opposition. People trying to stop. People trying to stand up and say, nope, you can't do this. But guess what? If God is for you, who can be against you? If God is for you, who can be against you? You have to make that decision of saying, I am an atmosphere changer. And that starts in the morning when you get in the car. Because guess what? Somebody's going to cut you off. Somebody's going to honk at you. Somebody's not going to put on their signal light. I always tell my daughter's 10. Her name's Aliana. And my son, Gianni, is 6. little brother loves making Aliana mad. Or that's what she says. She says, he makes me mad. And I said, Aliana, he can't do that. You let him make you mad. Guess what? It's the same for us. People can't make us mad. We let people make us mad. Now, I say this because right now, things are getting a little sensitive, you know, with politics and so forth and this and that. You know, for us, all that the Bible asks us to do is pray for our authorities. That's what we need to be doing, praying for our nation. Because it doesn't matter who's president. It does not matter. The King of Kings is still on the throne. He's still on the throne. He will always be on the throne. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He has it all. He knows who's supposed to be there. He already knows it. It's part of his plan. So church, all we need to do is pray. Number two, focus on and talk about what God is doing and what he intends to do, okay? Number two, focus on and talk about what God is doing. It takes focus to see what the Spirit is doing. I'm gonna show you an example of this. Dimitri, can you come up here? Oh, I'm not gonna do anything embarrassing, I promise. Okay, come stand right at the very corner over there. Okay, this takes focus, okay? When the Spirit is speaking, it takes focus, okay? So let's just say Dimitri is a spirit, okay? Now, all of y'all, I need all of y'all to clap as loud as y'all can, do noises on your legs, whatever y'all can do, everything. Dimitri, say something to me. Okay. I can't hear anything the Spirit is saying to me. There's a lot of distractions, lots of distractions. The world is trying to distract us. Things happening on the outside. This is what's happening right now. It's distractions. You hear new cases and this and that, and somebody's been robbed, and this has happened over here, and this has happened over there. If we're spending more time there than the Word, there's a problem. There's a problem, okay? When I start spending more time in the Word, in his presence, speak to me, Lord. I need to hear. What do you need me to do? And not pay attention to the distractions. Spirit, speak to me. How are you doing today? Great, great. Thank you, Dimitri. Thank you so much. Round of applause for him. So that is the kind of focus it takes. We have to be intentional. We have to focus on him and only him. What he is saying, what he is doing, how he wants us to move, where he wants us to be placed. Because why? We are all living stones that he uses to build his spiritual temple. His spiritual temple, okay? And it's a spiritual temple. We are the church. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful building. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather here. But the church is out there. We can act a certain way in here and out there be completely different. The community, the church needs to be out in the community. Most people try to figure out, how can I get all the community in the church? No. It's how can I get the church in the community? How can I get the church out there? How can we change the atmosphere? Focus on him. Number three, speak blessings. Speak blessings. There is life-giving impact when we pray or declare words of blessing over people, over situations, over ourselves, over our work, over ministry, over family, over whatever we can pray about. I even laid hands on my car before. My car was broken down. I laid hands on the car and said, in Jesus' name, got back in the car, and guess what happened? It turned on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So whatever you can lay hands on it. He created everything. He created everything. Use the name of Jesus. Use the power he's given us. We have to use it, church. We have to use it. Now is the time. Now is the time where we must lift up in that power. Number four, prophesy declarations. Prophesy declarations. Pray and ask God for specific scriptures that reflect what his heart and purpose is, okay? And when I say declare these prophecies, it doesn't have to be something formal. Sometimes we try to put a big old long declaration of prophecy, and it's not that way. It can be as simple as, may you experience growth and increase in your business. I just prophesized over a business. May you experience health in your body. May you experience what the Lord already did on the cross for you in your body. You are already healed by his stripes. So they don't have to be formal. They could just be natural. Just natural, declaring natural things over situations, over places, over families, and see how they are transformed. And number five, have Jesus faith. Have Jesus faith. This is so important. Have Jesus faith. What did he do when the disciples woke him up? What did he do? First thing he did, started speaking, started doing. That is faith. Doing. It's doing. We have to get up and do. Prayers are wonderful, but they have to be accompanied with action. If not, if there is no action, what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. Why? Faith without work is what? Is dead. Faith without work is dead. Okay? So we have, faith has to be accompanied with work. If we or someone else is in an abusive situation, our faith can change the atmosphere for the better. Help people find a local shelter against abuse. If we or someone else is being mistreated, our faith can change the atmosphere for the better. We can rise up like David did. What would David do? When he was pasturing the sheep, what would he do? If one of the sheep was in the jaws of a bear or a lion, what would he do? He would reach in there and grab that sheep and say, no, no. Guess what? We have to be those kinds of people that when the Lord's sheep are trying to be devoured by the enemy, because that's what the enemy does. He's here to devour. What do? We reach in and say, no, in Jesus' name, no, leave that sheep alone. Leave that sheep alone. You know what I love most at rodeos? I love the rodeo clowns. Why? They will put their own bodies at risk so the cowboy that's down doesn't get attacked. We need to be that kind of church. We need to be that kind of church. We need to say, no, my brother is down. We can't be the kind of church that says, oh, he's down, let me kick him, you know? Or are you sinning? Is that why you're there? No, 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 no. Because when I was sinning, God showed me his grace. When I was lost, he picked me up. We have to be the extension. We are the extension. We're his body. We are his body. He is the head. But we have to pick people up. If people are in sin, guess what? They probably don't know the word. They probably don't know the word, because that is his mercy, and reading his word is what transformed my life. I tried for years on my own to change my life. And so I found out the Spirit. Wow. The Spirit helps me understand his word, which before I would read and say, I don't know what I'm reading. But the Spirit is there. We have to be those types of people. We have to be that kind of church. If our neighborhood is filled with drug dealers, prostitutes, and violence, our faith can change the atmosphere. How? Feed his people. He died for those people on the cross. It says he died for everyone on the cross. Lend an ear. Most people that are doing those things, something awful happened to them in their life at one point. So lend an ear. Feed. Feed naturally and spiritually. Love people. Everybody, including myself, we all need to be loved. But unfortunately, people out there don't know that it's only Jesus that can fill those areas. Jesus fills. He's the only one. A job, money, titles, lots of cars, lots of girlfriends. Doesn't fill that. Only Jesus Christ fills. Okay? So that is point number 5, is have Jesus faith. Have Jesus faith. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. The words he speaks are full of Spirit and life. When we speak his word, it's full of Spirit and life. His word never comes back empty. Never. You release a word, and it might be years later, but something happens there. Something happens there. I was new, baby in Christ, when I showed up here in San Marcos, when I showed up at Promised Land, and there was open arms, and I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that I wasn't judged on my appearance, that I wasn't judged on maybe how I smelt, because guess what? The night before, I had been drinking. But when I showed up here, it was open arms. Open arms. That's the kind of church we have to be. Only Jesus transforms. Only his word does supernatural things in a very natural way. Isn't that beautiful? That he does exceedingly above what we can imagine all the time. We expect this much, and guess what? He gives us this much and to infinity and beyond. Buzz Lightyear. He does that. He is so good. He is so good to us. He loves us so much. As we follow Jesus, we will become like him. What an amazing thought that we too can speak life-giving words. Words that are full of the Spirit and empower God's purpose and changes atmospheres. But it all starts within. I can't change anything else if I haven't changed within. I can maybe fool a lot of people, but guess what? I can never fool Jesus. I can never fool him. All the changes, we need to change from within, so then we can start changing all around. When we preach, guess what? Our actions preach louder than our words. When we are outside of these four walls, what do people see? Do they see Jesus in us? If they see Jesus in us, that's preaching. That's helping people come to Jesus Christ's feet. I want to close with prayer. God is so good. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you because you are always with us, Lord. We know that we are living times, Lord, where your Spirit is just going to fall fresh on your church, Lord, on your body, Lord. That fresh anointing, Lord. We need you. We can't do it, and we don't want to without you. Like Moses said, if you're not coming with me, I don't want to go. The church does the same. Lord, we don't want to move if you're not moving with us. We want you to show us, speak to us. There's purpose. You've created each person in here with a specific purpose in mind. Spirit, speak to them. Reveal exactly what you need from each one of them. Lord, we lift up our nation. We lift up our nation. You can transform our nation, Lord. Your word says when one humbles, you transform, Lord. And there's many of us in here humbling ourselves before you, Lord, asking for our nation, asking for people in authority. We put those people in authority in your hands, Lord, because we know that you can transform, Lord. Our eyes only see the natural, like Paul. You transformed Saul into Paul. Everybody said, no, not Saul. But he wrote all of the New Testament. Thank you, Lord, because it's not what human eyes see. You've already seen it all, Lord. You can transform our nation, authorities, Lord, any heart that's looking for you, Lord. And even people that are just craving for a difference, Lord, you fall and transform. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for that atmosphere, because we can feel it in here. We feel the atmosphere in here. We can hear you. We can feel you in here, Lord. But that we, the church, take this out there where it's needed, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Come on, church, let's put our hands together. Thank you so much. What a great word. So refreshing, so needed, so encouraging. We have the ability to change the atmosphere. I hope that if you're watching online, that it resonated with you as much as it did with us here in the house. Thank you again. Let's give it up for Lucy one more time. So great. So great. Hey, we want to make sure that you are aware of a few things we have going on. I want to take a quick second. I know our pastor, Pastor Robin, wasn't able to be here this evening, but I want to remind you or inform you if you didn't know, his book is on sale, How to Be Made Whole. We've been talking about it the last few weeks. We've been diving into it, into my home. It is a life-transforming book, and I want to encourage all of you, if you don't already, to pick up a copy, or if you're being patient for the audiobook, it will be coming out soon, but it is just such a powerful book. Also, our students, 6th to 12th grade, are having an event this Sunday. We are going to be having a bonfire for our students, and so we want all of the students, here's what I need. I need all the students, 6th to 12th grade, to come out, hang out with us. It's completely free. We're going to have food, s'mores, all that good stuff. It's going to be a great time. Everyone else, that if you're not in 6th to 12th grade, I need you to pray for two things. Number one, I need you to pray that God makes it a little bit cooler here in Central Texas. And number two, I need you to pray for my safety, all right? Lots of teenagers with a bonfire, Lord help us. But we're going to have a good time. So come, bring your friends. We are excited about it. It's going to be a really good time this Sunday. Hey, we also want to give you an opportunity to be generous. Part of setting the atmosphere for our church and our city is also just giving. And we give our time, like Pam was talking about, and like the small group leaders we were honoring. We give of our talent, like we saw Maya up here singing tonight. But we also give financially, and we sow into what God's trying to do. There's a few ways you can give. You can give online, psmchurch.com. You can text PROMISE IN to 73256, or you can give by cash or check. If you're in the house, seat back in front of you. You can fill it out, drop it in the offering bin on the way out. If you're watching online, you can mail in a check to 1650 Limekiln Road, San Marcos, Texas, 78666. But we're thankful. We're thankful for your generosity. Let me say a quick prayer over you really quick, and I'm going to dismiss you. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together. I ask that you bless every person that was here tonight. God, that more was caught than taught. and that we would leave with new revelations and fresh wind in our life of who you are and what you're doing, in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. We're going to dismiss like we have been from back to front, so please wait as they get to your row. In the meantime, you can just hang out for just a little bit. If you're watching online, thank you so much for being here with us tonight, logging on. If you're watching from your home, your car, I don't know, maybe your kid's Little League game, wherever you are, thank you for being here. We don't take it for granted. We want to remind you that we have church this Sunday at 9, 10:30, and 12:30. No, I messed that up. 9? How do I not know? I literally need to be the one person that knows what time we have church. No, I think I did say that right. 9? 10:30 and 12. Oh, I said 12:30. Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, so if you're watching online, you log in on any one of those times and check us out. Or if you've been waiting to come back, maybe this week is the week to come back. We have space in some of our services. Our 9, our 10:30 are filling, but our noon is full of room for you. And we made it specifically for you. And so if you're looking to worship with a little bit of space, hopefully we'll see you at our noon service. We love you. We're checking out. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.